This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into Market Talk here today. Thank you so much for joining us, making us part of your day as we take a look at the markets and issues impacting rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Again, great to have you with us here today as we take a look at what's going on in the market trade. Have a bit of a special program for you here today. I talked with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing and Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing during a forum held at Dakota Fest on Wednesday. We were able to sit down in front of a great audience and discuss the markets in detail, answer some questions, and much more. And coming up here on today's show, we're going to listen back to part of that forum as I talked with Dwayne and Mike about some of the issues impacting the grain and livestock trade and the broader commodity space. We're also going to get some comments later in the show from Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, and get his thoughts on some of the issues impacting the trade as well. Well, we're going to kick things off again. This is part of a live forum from Wednesday afternoon during Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota, as I speak with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing and Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing. Talk a little bit just about the general volatility that we have seen here the last, say, year and change. Dwayne, if you want to start, I mean, sure. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. My advice would actually be to not worry about the day-to-day stuff, right? The day-to-day up 5, up 6, down 5, down 6 in corn, that's just your normal trade, and that's probably driven by the algros, which are following headlines, overnight news, stuff that Mike and I are not going to be able to predict. None of us are going to be able to predict. So I wouldn't worry about that, but is that going to continue? Absolutely. In fact, it's just going to get more and more. You look at the CME numbers, it's driven by the algros and computers that follow the headlines, and they try to actually trade off of our emotions when we try to trade against them. So it's going to stay, and that's okay, because what the algros do is they give us volatility in the market and volume in the market. So if you call me and want to buy a put option, I can get it done because there's an algro on the other side waiting to do it. So the volume and volatility is okay, but don't stress about why is it up 5, why is it down 5, and well, Mike's smarter than I am, so he probably knows, but I don't know on the day-to-day stuff. Worry about where the market's going to be two weeks out to 3 months out, and actually I feel like I can predict that a lot better than I can the close of today, but I know the Twins are up too, so I'm predicting a 5-0 victory today, so let's just get that out there now and we'll go from there.
Well, we're not into the playoffs yet, so we can be hopeful for the Twins for a while yet, but when it comes to volatility, we just have to remember it's a good thing. It creates opportunities as long as we take advantage of them, and that's the big thing, is that we're going to need to execute going forward, and we still have plenty of time before harvest. And the good news is, though, a lot of us know what type of crop we have out there or how to manage the volatility at this point, so just keep that in mind. You know, you covered everything pretty well there, and not much more to add to it other than volatility is a waste unless we use it. So,
well, we know the volatility is influenced by a number of factors, and I want to talk about a few of them individually. I think just for starters, you know, we've seen the inflationary trade in the markets here since the beginning of the year with the Russia-Ukraine war and other geopolitical issues. So, you know, we look at all the inflation we saw go into the market, we've since pulled it back, and we're kind of have this typical summer weather market, but inflation underneath it. Talk about your thoughts as we've kind of pulled back some of that inflation trade as you look at the grain market specifically first. What are your thoughts as we start to maybe get back to a little bit more of a normalized type of summertime market feel right now?
Perfect. When we look at the inflation aspect of commodities, I would love to sit here and say that fundamentals are the only thing impacting our markets. That would make our lives really easily. But when we look at the markets today, we're looking at so many different things across the world that are impacting you and I in our business today, whether it's a Russia-Ukraine war, whether it's Brazil's crops or China and military activities. There's a lot of different things going on that could have macro impacts on our grain markets today. And that just continues to get bigger and bigger, it seems like. You know, you could go back 5 years and it seems like every year there's a potential black swan sitting around the corner that's kept a lid on this market. And that's not going away anytime soon from the looks of it. And from an inflation perspective, we've pulled crude oil back to below $87 now for the first time since January 25th. And the managed money fund longs on corn have been cut over half. Since our peak rally in the springtime. So money has already started to come out of a lot of these commodities, and you've seen fund long liquidation. For example, yesterday we saw the hog market, which was a great example of just long liquidation on a single day. You lost over $4 on the October contract in just one fellow swoop, and not a lot of reason behind it, right? I mean, cutout was down by the end of the day, but the grain markets have been getting pulled lower along with the rest of the commodities, and it's just not as cool to be long commodities maybe as what it was a couple months ago. The wheat market's lost all its premium since the Russia invasion, so it goes in cycles, but I think we're kind of on the back end of the major push here for now at least.
Yeah, just to chime in on the same thing there, I agree with Mike. I think we're on the back end of the big inflation push to start with. Where it goes from here, I'm changing my answer from a couple of months ago. I was actually quite worried about inflation and therefore also recession, and I'm backing off a little bit because of what I see in the Midwest. I see a lot of money. I see a lot of wealth, and I think it's still in the U.S. Could there be something longer term? Absolutely, there probably will be. Right now, actually, we have too many people employed, believe it or not. And, you know, is the Fed going to actually try to increase unemployment to slow the economy down and, you know, continue to raise interest rates? Then we will enter a recession. But, you know, there's no political party that wants to do that because they're only in office for so many years. As far as how is inflation going to hurt us farmers, which I should mention too, yeah, I farm in Northeast South Dakota as well, so I'm doing the same stuff you guys are. I think it's going to hit you when you go to the bank, right? If you're going for new loans now and looking at some of the equipment out here, I noticed they don't have a lot of the sticker prices out there, and I think I know exactly why, because we'd have a little sticker shock. But, you know, that's where the interest payments a little bit higher might start to hurt us. But overall, I'm not that concerned, Jesse, believe it or not. I was a while back, but now I think we're going to be okay. I don't think the recession is going to be that deep. I don't think inflation is going to be that high. In general, you've probably all heard before, inflation is normally a good thing in ag commodities. You know, usually corn, soybeans, wheat, the things we grow will go up as well. But yeah, I hope you bought your new John Deere tractor a couple of years ago, because it's worth more now as a used piece of equipment than it is, it's worth more than it was when you bought it anyway. So inflation's good if you bought your equipment, but I'm not really too fearful of it moving forward, I guess.
And again, we're listening into a forum from Wednesday afternoon at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota, as I talked with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing and Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing. We're going to continue to listen into part of that forum coming up next year as we continue with more market talk. We'll be back with more on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here with you once again as we are listening into a market forum from Wednesday afternoon during Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota, having a great conversation with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing and Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing. Let's listen back into that forum. Let's start with old crop, corn, soybeans. I'll ask you guys a question. You know, we saw a cash basis hold really steady, still holding fairly firm. You know, we look at anyone who maybe has some old crop left, I look at the calendar mid-August. I mean, what are your thoughts? Is it time to just make a move, clean out the bin, and take it? Because I know there's been some guys who were saying, well, I'm going to wait and hold and hope the market goes higher, and then the market came down, and they were mad that they didn't sell it at the high. That happens. What are your thoughts on old crop cash basis right now as we're getting pretty close to the point where we're going to switch over to new crop?
Well, you already saw it in the soybean market. We lost a lot of premium off basis already on that. And corn's probably not far behind here. We're really starting to see soybean or corn basis slip already. Once guys get enough corn to get to new crop, they're done. And you just got to time it right. There's going to be a fine line there. So I would just say earlier the better on old crop. So I have a differing opinion kind of on new crop, but we can get into that later.
Yeah, my thoughts on old crop are dump it tomorrow, dump it today. It's, you know, could it go up 5 cents tomorrow? Yes, and like I said, but don't worry about that 5-6 cents. Nobody can predict that. If you got a broker saying he can, he's probably lying to you. But no, the old crop is done. That story's done. Mike nailed it with once that ethanol plant has enough corn to get to new crop, they're not going to pay that premium anymore. We've seen the soybean basis go from this plus 40, plus 50 in areas to minus a dollar now because they switched to go off the November board and your basis just went to hell, right? And that's going to happen in corn here too. But I'm with Mike, you know, it's not saying we're bearish. It's just it's time for that old crop to be gone. Actually, it's been time for about a month.
All right, same question. New crop, what are your thoughts there? Because, you know, we still look at where things stand. There's still, whether we're talking cash or on the board, there's still plenty of opportunity for profitability, even though we pulled back some from the highs earlier this year. So you look at new crop sales, what are your thoughts there? Dwayne, you want to start?
Yeah, new crop sales, so dependent on every individual, right? If you're the guy that doesn't have any on-farm storage and you have to sell it pre-harvest, you know, hopefully you've done so by now, and I'm sure you have. You were probably more aggressive. If you're the type that you're about 5-10 years away from retirement, doing well, you can store your entire crop in the bin. At this level, if you haven't done anything, I'm okay to continue to not do anything, believe it or not, even though they're good prices. So it really depends on the financial situation of the producer, my recommendation. I'll just tell you this. I'm bullish corn, soybeans, and wheat going into this winter. I think corn has made a harvest low already. Soybeans, you know, whether we can talk about that later, could definitely dip. But if you haven't done anything, I don't think you have to do anything more now. But if my bankers in the back are saying that's a good price, maybe you should sell, I would totally agree with that too. So if you're a hedger, need the money, sell. But no, I'm bullish moving forward. I'll put it that way, and then you decide where you're at as far as storing grain or not storing grain.
That's the big question. Are you going to put it in the bin, or are you going to sell it at harvest? And today we've got some pretty decent harvest level basis levels still, but you know, we're going to have a pretty decent crop in local areas. For the most part, there's holes places, right? And we're going to get a lot of corn hit in the market right away during fall. So I'm fine locking in basis if you have to deliver it at fall. Now, if you're going to hold it for a few months, that's probably a different scenario. You're looking at a market today with higher interest rates that are going to make storing corn a little bit more difficult. So if you are going to hold on to that grain, hopefully you get some basis improvement going forward and hopefully get a little bit of carry built into that market. Like I said, you're going to have a lot of corn hitting the market right away early. That should help carry get built out, increase a little bit, and then hopefully your basis levels will improve from harvest into December, January, like you normally get the opportunity to. So yeah, if you're gonna sell it at harvest, get it locked up, and got a good idea of what your crop is today too, which will help. But longer term, there's enough problems in local areas just around the corner that and demand looks like it's really strong yet, so longer term should be friendly.
I'm going to segue off that to one other thought here as well, and you guys both hit it obviously on the head, is that it all depends on your operation, what you have for what's going on with your crop, et cetera, on your farm. I've heard a few stories, maybe someone in this room, maybe not, but someone that maybe got a little over their skis earlier this year, maybe sold ahead a little too much new crop, and then maybe they're in one of those bad spots where they're going, oh no, I don't know if I'm going to be able to fill, you know, I sold 35% of corn or 30% of beans, and I'm not going to have that. I know that there's different ways to get yourself out of that position. And I know, you know, rather than talking specific trading advice, but there's, I would just say that there's ways to get out of certain positions like that if you feel like you've overdone it a little bit on sales already.
Yeah, which way? Your turn, right? Go ahead, Mike.
I would say on this one, this year it wasn't quite as bad because things like margin protection gave us the opportunity to protect a really good price early on. So maybe a guy didn't feel like he needed to sell as much over the long term. And that gave some guys some more flexibility. Option strategies were a really nice strategy as well this year that provided a lot of flexibility. So now at this point, if you've got too much sold, I mean, you're pretty much rolling it into the next year, or you're just simply buying courage calls or bull spreads at this point. There's no perfect answer to making up for early sales, but I mean, a lot of those early sales were still made at profitable levels if you end up with a crop or not. So there's no perfect answer to that, but I feel like this year it wasn't as bad as what it could have been with how great crop insurance guarantees were. And, you know, we kind of had a little bit of a run into this as well. So guys saw it coming maybe a little bit better than just a historic drought out of nowhere.
There are ways to get out of that pickle that you talked about, Jesse, you know, where you sold the crop as it went forward because somebody like me told you should do it, and maybe we sold too soon. Okay, so we got so many bushels contracted, and yeah, like my area, a lot of rain, we didn't get the crop in. Got about 60% on my farm planted, believe it or not. So it does happen. The first thing you do is you call whoever you got the contract with and tell them, hey, I might be short, and they'll go through options with you. A lot of times it's just as simple as just rolling to the next year. And yes, you may have to pay the difference. Well, you should have to pay the difference in the futures. And maybe there's a 5-cent cost, but do not forward sell because you're worried about that, guys. I push and push for guys to forward sell. If you're a cash seller, if you're a young producer and you don't want to have margin calls, make the cash sales early. Keep pushing and doing that. I'm known by saying this in a lot of presentations I give, and I think it still hits home really well. Don't wait until on your farm you know whether you have a crop or not. And I say that because why is the market rallying in the spring? It's because we don't know if the nation has a crop and you don't know if you have a crop. So then everyone's tentative to sell. But if you wait until you know what size crop you have on your farm, I bet you've lost $2 in beans and $1 in corn. And if you go back the last 3 or 4 years, that's actually really accurate, something like that. You know, we hit the highs because we don't think you have a crop. That's when you need to sell. But it feels awkward, doesn't it? It's like, well, I can't sell. My dad, my grandpa never sold anything until we had it in the bin. It's a different world to me. There's the marketing year pre-harvest, and then there's the marketing year post-harvest. I sell everything on the board on our farm. Keep everything as much as I can on farm and then sell the cash later. So there's two different marketing years, and I'm still hedged now, but I screwed up and didn't exit when I told you I was exiting the other day. So see, brokers do it wrong too. Pre-harvest sell, be aggressive. If it doesn't work out, most time they just roll it to the next year and it's not a problem.
And again, that is Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing and Mike Miner of Professional Ag Marketing. Had a great discussion with them during Dakota Fest as we talked about the market trade at a live forum on Wednesday afternoon. Dwayne, of course, and Mike, both great guests of the show. You can learn more about Dwayne Bussey and Bolt Marketing at boltmarketingllc.com. And Mike Miner and Professional Ag Marketing, their team, you can learn more about them online, professionalagmarketing.com. Also, the forum, you can listen to the full audio of the forum and find a video live stream replay link as well. You can find all of that online, markettalkag.com as well. It's all on our YouTube channel and much more. So you can find it all there to listen in. We had more discussion about the livestock markets, and you can also hear some of the Q&A that we had as well from the forum. Coming up next here on Market Talk, we're going to continue. We're going to have a discussion with our friend Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He joins us to talk about the wheat market, as well as livestock. That's on the way next year as we're back with more Market Talk right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to talk the market trade, we say hello to our good friend Mike Zuzula with Global Commodity Analytics joining Market Talk here with us. And Mike, great to catch up with you again this week. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me back.
Appreciate the time, Mike. Let's jump right in. You know, looking at the markets here this week, we've seen plenty of pressure of the grains and oil seeds. I think a lot of factors kind of combining. You talk the weak economic news out of China, the weather, some of that rain that we saw, cooler temperatures, crude oil kind of falling back. There's just been a lot of things it's felt like in this grain market overall that's kind of been a bearish weight, a bearish influence here throughout much of this week, Mike.
Yeah, everything you've mentioned almost has a hallmark of that demand fear returning back into the marketplace. And that demand fear is led by the fund liquidation demand investment fear, I think, Jesse. It's the best way to, I think, wrap a ribbon around these fundamentals, excluding a couple key fundamentals in the wheat. But I think it's really important for producers to realize in grains, as the ranchers and the cattle, and the pig producers see continued multi-month highs on strong demand, the grains continue to suffer. Even the wheat, which received probably the best report from USDA in terms of both US and global ending stocks. And I think this really translates back into the charts. It translates back into the whole inflation bet on the long side that started in late 2020 and really ramped up in 2021. We're at a critical time phase that we are once again in a period in the Northern Hemisphere where we see crops burning up, producers sending me pictures of corn that are tipped back almost 40% at this point in some areas, indent in some areas. So no rain is going to help any corn at all. In fact, rain is probably going to hurt the corn and the stalk quality at this point. And yet the market keeps sinking. And so we've got this decoupling and this dysfunctional market again, where we're back on the outside, as you say, macro side of the markets and the weaker demand side of the markets for the grains, instead of putting both the supply and the demand together. And I think this is a critical piece of the puzzle as we get close to September, with the idea that we may be ramping up if the wheat can't hold up here into making a pre-harvest low in the corn and beans, especially if we can't hold that harvest low in the wheat complex.
Let's talk a little bit more about the wheat side, Mike. I know a couple charts you sent me here as well. I mean, we saw wheat, a pretty aggressive sell-off on Wednesday, and that kind of continued through the overnight into Thursday. Pulling up the monthly SRW chart, walk us through what you're seeing here. This wheat market, you know, you talk about it holding up, and I'm a little curious to your thoughts here, because I'm maybe a little concerned with some of the price action I've been seeing lately.
Yeah, to me, Jesse, this is the backbone of the grain rally. It always has been, and it continues to be. And the blue support line, as you see, is drawn off the lows from the second and third quarter of 2020. We tested that low again in the middle of 2021. Here we are now again in the middle of 2022, testing these lows again in that trend line. And now we're going through them. And as of Thursday morning's Globex trade, the market has been able to take out the August low now. So we're now below the July low. We're now below in a new August low. And now all we have for support, because the trend line is gone, is the 2022 low, which was made back in January of around 735 and a half. And I think this on a weekly basis is absolutely critical to hold, because if we don't hold that, that chart looks like a topping pattern. And also that chart looks as though we're going back into the weeds as far as a sluggish market. And again, the USDA report came in and took US wheat stocks to use ratios down to a little over 31%, took world wheat stocks to use ratios down to just under 34%. We're at the lowest stocks to use ratios in both U.S. and world wheat supplies now since going back to after 2012, the 2013-2014 marketing years. And so we don't have justification fundamentally supply and demand for this. What we have justification for this is that A, Europe is coming on board hard and in terms of its prices correcting substantially. That's partially due to Ukraine, but it's also a big factor, goes back to the funds and how they trade the currencies, and the dollar has continued to make multi-month highs. And I think this is a key factor that we continue to kind of wash over in the trade, if you will.
Well, Mike, I'll pull up another chart on the video feed as well. And this is a comparison you have between EU wheat and U.S. Chicago SRW wheat futures. So talk about this a little bit. And I know on the EU side, we've been seeing a lot of production issues, of course, there. That's something that we have to keep in mind in the markets.
Yeah, the corn in the EU market is falling as well towards the mercantile exchange price, but not nearly as dramatically. And this makes sense fundamentally, as you say, because the production problems have not been baked into the supply demand yet. And I think the USDA did start to do that by showing a lot of problems in corn production in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in Europe. But again, this is why the wheat market is such a key factor. And it goes back to the Paris wheat has been the leader to the upside along earlier on with the spring wheat. We lost the spring wheat support. Then we had the Paris wheat support continuing to give us support because of the currencies and because of the Ukrainian supplies being held up in the Baltic. And so the EU wheat, as you and I have talked over the months, has been the clear leader to the upside. So what does this mean to the U.S. farmer, though? And I think it goes back to the feeding, the livestock rations. We've got a soft red wheat minus corn price. That spread is down below $1.40. It typically, Jesse, when you get to around 80 cents wheat premium to the corn in the soft red wheat belt complex, that tends to bring in a lot more feed wheat feeding. And we have seen now in both Russia and Ukraine news reports of harvest that the quality is not nearly as good. So it is a concern, and Ukraine does have some responsibility in play for why this EU market is falling. But I got to throw some responsibility back on the United States and the U.S. aid newswire release right around 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning saying that the U.S. was going to buy 150,000 tons of Ukrainian wheat to give to poor countries. That just added another competitor to the United States. And I scratched my head immediately and said, why aren't we sending our wheat to the poor countries? And I think the trade's thinking the exact same thing. So bottled up in all this logical, rational, fund-driven, investment-driven liquidation are these spears that come at us out of nowhere that just emphasizes to the funds it's right to liquidate. And I think this is a necessary thing to think about and talk about because it is really impacting us.
Another spear I'll throw in there as well, the Iraqi cancellation of U.S. Wheat tender on Wednesday wasn't widely reported, but that was another reason I think that kind of added to the sell-off as well there, Mike. And it goes to prove your point, all these little things just getting thrown in this wheat market that just slows it down, in my opinion, Mike.
Unfortunately, since the 70s and 90s, when we ruled the roost in the Middle East and North Africa for wheat business, we have to have the dollar on our side. And I think it really does boil down to that, Jesse, when it comes to the funds and the investment flows. And I know I'm oversimplifying it, but I think, we have to build this in to the marketing plan. So the bottom line for me is we lost beans because of the USDA report yield increase. We were relying on corn and wheat to support the beans. Now we're losing wheat, and this opens up a pre-harvest downside move in the whole grain complex that we have to be aware of. And I think those puts are very good potential risk management tools to look at, not cash sales because of what's happening in the fields, but what we're looking at is this futures-led decline that I think we might want to tap into.
Well, you mentioned the futures decline. You mentioned cash, though. I just want to maybe grab your thoughts real quick there. Basis has held up fairly strong, but starting to kind of fade here as we get into that typical time frame where we get old crop and new crop basis start to kind of come together typically in quarter beans, or at least we get out of old crop and go completely to new crop. So as you look across the countryside, I know it's going to be a regional thing, but What are your thoughts just on the state of kind of the cash basis, cash market for corn and beans right now?
Well, I think your basis is going to do all the heavy lifting. And I think that's where the basis is probably going to start to be propped up. But I think one of the things that, you know, clients have asked me is, well, when do you feel better about the funds? When do you feel better about the upside potential in the grains if we have this break to the downside? And it's all based upon the cash. It's all based upon the export market. And it's based upon the funds watching that very closely. So watch the Thursday export sales. Watch the Monday export inspections reports. If they start to come around and the U.S. gets more business, then I think you've got a decent chance that the trend is going to change in your favor as a producer. But we noticed after the July went off the board for corn and after the August went off the board for beans, a week ago, you and I were talking about a $2 spread between August and September beans. Now we've got about a 60-cent spread between September and November beans. The USDA report did not take carryover in from last year down, carryover from last year down in soybeans. That just added to the weakness in this overall market.
And again, that is Mike Zuzlow with Global Commodity Analytics as he joins us here on Market Talk, discussing the wheat markets there quite a bit, as we've seen plenty of action in wheat this week that we really wanted to kind of focus in on, and how that's correlating into the rest of the grains and oil seeds here. Coming up next, we're going to talk the livestock markets, plenty to take a look at there in the cattle sector and in hogs as well, as we kind of look at cash trade this week and weekly export sales and much more here as we're looking to wrap up the week. And again, just a great discussion earlier with Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing, and Mike Miner, a professional ag marketing, during a forum at Dakota Fest on Wednesday, which I was able to attend the last couple of days. And you can listen to that full forum as well on our website, markettalkag.com. All right, again, coming up, we're going to continue our conversation with Mike Zuzlow, Global Commodity Analytics. He's back with us next as we continue with more Market Talk coming up right after the break.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us here once again today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here as we are continuing a conversation with Mike Zuzlow of Global Commodity Analytics. We are going to talk to Mike here again in just a moment and talk a little bit more about the markets in general. We're also going to look real close to the livestock markets coming up. A few of the closing numbers from the trading day on Thursday. September corn 4 3/4 higher, 6.19 3/4. December up 3 3/4, 6.15 3/4. Soybeans September 20 1/4 higher, 14.95 1/2. November beans up 15 1/4, 14.05 1/4. Bean meal September up 8.80 a ton, 4.49 40. September bean oil up or down, 115.6626. Chicago wheat September down 31 3/4 at 731 1/2. December down 31 1/2, 749. September KC wheat 38 1/2 lower, 812 1/2. December down 37 3/4, 815 1/4. Spring wheat Minneapolis September down 30 3/4, 852 3/4. December down 29 1/2, 864 3/4. Hogs October down 475 93 30. December down 325 85 17. Feeder cattle August down 172 181 52. September down 185 185 27. Live cattle August down 47 141 27, and October down 110 at 144 75. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Mike Zuzlow of Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, I want to shift over and talk livestock. I'll pull up another chart on the video feed. Kind of the livestock prices chart, looking at cash cattle and hogs from USDA. And, you know, I look at both of these markets right now, Mike. I'm just kind of curious your thoughts with where things stand now that, you know, we look at cattle trying to get some support in cash country, but futures holding a range. Hogs, now that August contract's off the board, we're on to October now. I mean... There's a lot of things going on in this protein sector that I think we need to keep an eye on. What are your thoughts with what we're seeing right now?
Well, a nice thing about this chart that I did was it was both the combination of the WASDE report and also the last livestock, dairy, and poultry report going and taking some of those older years. But the nice thing about this is what you notice the jump from July 2022 prices to August and how big of a jump we had, especially when it came to the hogs. And then from July 2023 to August 2023 projections, we saw another big increase in the cattle. So the USDA is keeping track with this demand-led market. They've written a lot about the consumption, the retail sales that we're getting from stores like Walmart and Kroger and Target. They are saying, yeah, consumers are pulling back on electronic goods, home goods, but they're really still sticking with the food side of the equation very strongly. And they're taking the price increases very well. This all boils down to why essentially the funds are buying the livestock and the meats and selling the grains right now. And so we're in kind of the catbird seat in the livestock sector. I think in the short term here, Jesse, with Friday's cattle on feed report, we need to see a strong month of marketings again to justify what I just said about some of this other anecdotal evidence. But now that we filled some gaps in the fat cattle chart, now that the funds are as long as they were back in, I think, May of this year in cattle and February, March, in hogs, as far as non-commercial length in the commitment of traders report, we are, in essence, USDA funds and the cash market keeping up with the strength in the hogs and cattle. And so it means futures, to me, has a premium in them. We got to be ready to hedge very, very soon. And I think that very, very soon could be as early as October, as soon as we get done with that last summer holiday of grilling on Labor Day. So that's kind of where I'm tracking at this point, especially with the fund movement and USDA not behind the curve when it comes to prices.
Well, Mike, I want to ask you as well, and this could tie into not only the protein sector, but grains. You follow China a lot. We saw the weak economic data out of China earlier in the week. And then, of course, the geopolitical tensions over Taiwan with the U.S. and China. So as you've kind of been watching this week, the China issues on many fronts, how is that impacting the market? And what are some things we really need to keep our eye on here moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because it all wraps back up into the demand side of the equation. And a big reason why the funds are not playing ball on the long side of the grains now is because their expectations are not as high as they were back last year when the phase one trade deal was put into effect and China did buy a lot of extra corn, beans, and wheat. And they're still buying the pork and beef, Jesse. So my mindset is that wraps back up into the U.S. export demand coming back, and that wraps up into China coming back. And I think with their economic data, and one thing that is coming on now is a severe drought in a major area of their industrial and pork complex. Sichuan province is their number one province for pork production. And I'm very nervous that the soybean demand side is going to remain subdued, because they're going to lose livestock in terms of their herd over there in that province because of a record drought and record setting heat. They could continue to buy pork, but they'll probably continue to really suffer from crushing meal, and their meal margins, crushing margins, are still negative in some key provinces as well. So that all wraps up into China's the king of commodity buying. When they don't, when they get when they start sneezing and they get a head cold, the rest of the market gets a flu. And I think that's where we're at right now and having to contend with that.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always. Before we run out of time, any final thoughts you have for us on the show today?
I'll just reemphasize what we've looked at all year long, and that's the dollar trend and the price action in the dollar against the wheat. And I think that's still the number one feature to watch. I think the Federal Reserve now is going to back away from raising rates. I'd be surprised if they raised rates the rest of the year, given some of this economic data. So I'm hoping that actually puts a top on the dollar again by the time we get to like around October. So my analysis is boiling down to grain low equals dollar high. And that's kind of where I'm at. But otherwise, go to the website and get a free trial.
GlobalComResearch.com. That is com with two M's. GlobalComResearch.com is where you can get that free trial. And of course, we always appreciate the time. Excuse me there. Mike, thanks for joining us here today on Market Talk. And have yourself a great rest of the week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Jesse, and thanks for having me, buddy.
Again, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. That's going to do it for Market Talk today. Coming up tomorrow, Christy Van On, she said, the Van On Company. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day.